nuclear agreement reached with Iran.
This deal offers an opportunity to move in a new direction. We should seize it.
But will Congress try to block it?
Spacecraft zooms past Pluto.
Scientists are on the edge of their seats.
Instant literary blockbuster with a twist.
It's time for everybody to read and make their own decisions.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, the United States and other Western powers have reached an historic nuclear deal with Iran. The agreement, after years of talks, curbs Iran's nuclear program in exchange for relief from international sanctions. At the White House about an hour ago, President Obama called it an agreement built on verification, not trust.
The international community will be able to verify that the Islamic Republic of Iran will not develop a nuclear weapon.
The deal was hailed by Iran's foreign minister.
We are reaching an agreement that is not perfect for anybody, but it is what we could accomplish, and it is an important achievement for all of us.
From Vienna, CBS News correspondent Margaret Brennan begins our team coverage.
Officials tell us that Iran has explicitly agreed not to try to build a nuclear warhead, to freeze its nuclear program for at least a decade, and to disassemble some of its suspect nuclear sites. International weapons inspectors will also be able to be on the ground to look into some of those facilities. They won't get automatic access to military installations, but U.S. officials say they can get into suspicious ones. In exchange for all of this, Iran will get access to about $100 billion of its frozen assets, and it eventually will be able to sell oil into the international markets and open up its economy that has been so choked off from the rest of the world.
I'm Vicky Barker.
This deal, frankly, looks better than many of us had thought.
Joseph Cerencioni of the Anti-Proliferation Plowshares Fund.
It should effectively contain Iran's program for a generation.
What makes it a strong agreement is that there are strong incentives for both sides to adhere to it.
Sir Richard Dalton, former British ambassador to Iran, hailing a triumph of diplomacy, which still has to be tested in the fires of domestic U.S. politics.
This is Pam Coulter at the White House. President Obama said the deal meets the national security interests of the U.S., and he invited a robust review by Congress. But he warned,
I will veto any legislation that prevents the successful implementation of this deal.
10 or 15 years down the road, he said, his successor will be in a stronger position with Iran, and it would be irresponsible to walk away from the deal.
I'm Stephen Portnoy in Washington, where Democrats are urging a cautious review of the deal, and Republicans are expressing outrage. One GOP member of the House says the president has lit a fuse which will lead to an arms race in the Middle East. If lawmakers were to overcome a veto, they could block the lifting of U.S. sanctions, but not at the U.N.
I'm Robert Berger in Jerusalem. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the world powers wanted an agreement with Iran at any price. This is a bad mistake of historic proportions, he said, adding that Iran has received a sure path to nuclear weapons.
Now a trip that's almost been 10 years in the making now, paying full dividends as a spacecraft makes history flying by Pluto. CBS's Barry Bagnano's at Mission Headquarters in Maryland. He joins us live.
Steve, moments ago here, cheers and waving American flags greeted New Horizons' closest approach to Pluto. It's now gathering critical information, but in silence. Scientists here anxiously await new contact from it tonight.
3, 2, 1.
How long did it take New Horizons to make this 3-billion-mile journey?
Liftoff on a voyage to visit the planet Pluto.
Pluto was still a planet 9.5 years ago. It has since been downgraded to dwarf, but that doesn't lessen principal investigator Alan Stern's excitement.
In the rest of our lives, I don't expect we will see another mission to big real estate that has not yet been explored.
CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
Studying it is going to give the astronomers a much better idea of the original material that coalesced to form the solar system and how all of that happened.
It'll take 16 months to send back so much data from so very far away. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Laurel, Maryland.
The son of a Boston police captain's in custody, accused of plotting to commit ISIS-inspired attacks. Alexander Ciccolo is accused of planning to use pressure cooker bombs at an unspecified state university. Former Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis.
You see these things unfolding, and unfortunately, you know, they can hit anybody, and it can happen all around us. And it just goes to show how insidious this threat is.
The suspect's father told authorities last fall his son had a history of mental illness and had been talking about joining ISIS. The U.S. military is moving toward lifting the ban on transgender people serving in uniform. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter says over the last 14 years of conflict, transgender men and women have served in silence, and the military must ensure that everyone who's able and willing to serve has the full and equal opportunity to do so. He set up a six-month review to work out details and assess the impact.
Bryn Tannehill transitioned to a woman only after she got out of the U.S. Navy a few years ago.
It was stressful, and it was something that I couldn't talk with anyone about, because if you even breathed a word of it, you didn't know what was going to happen. And you could lose your career.
The executive committee of the Boy Scouts has voted to end the organization's ban on gay adult leaders and let individual scout groups set their own policies. 16-year-old Autumn Veach survived a small plane crash in north central Washington State, hiked for 2 days through the woods before being picked up by a motorist. The fate of her two step-grandparents, also on the plane, is not clear. Harper Lee's much-anticipated second novel is out today, 55 years after her first, a giant of American literature. It was written before To Kill a Mockingbird, but paints a different picture of the main character.
In the name of God.
Readers may be stunned that in this book, Atticus Finch...
You have testified.
A hero, as portrayed by Gregory Peck in the movie To Kill a Mockingbird, is a racist 20 years later.
It upsets a lot of people. They would prefer to have Atticus Finch fixed in the way they know him.
Charles Shields, who wrote a biography of Harper Lee, says she is challenging us. Southern historian Diane McWhorter says readers might think a good man now seems evil.
But Atticus was not evil. He was totally normal for his time.
And Go Set a Watchman is a definite bestseller. Dan Revive, CBS News.
The baseball All-Star Game is tonight. CBS's Steve Futterman tells us one controversial former star who gambled away his place in history will make an appearance.
He has been banned since 1989.
The banishment for life of Pete Rose from baseball is the sad end of a sorry episode.
But tonight here in Cincinnati, where Pete Rose played for 19 seasons, Major League Baseball is allowing him to take part on the field in a special pregame ceremony. The fans think it's a good move.
Yeah, I think it's fair. This is his hometown. It's the right thing to do.
And it is sure to be an emotional moment. No one argues about Rose's achievements on the field, but some feel after more than 25 years, the ban should be lifted and Rose should be allowed into the Hall of Fame. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the All-Star Game in Cincinnati.
And current Red Star Todd Frazier won last night's MLB Home Run Derby. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.